Right. Good evening. Appreciate everyone's patience. So grateful for everyone that's here. My name is Alex Hackman, Chair of the Parks and Rec Commission. Just like to extend a warm welcome to those that may be with us for the first time, and we're grateful that you're here. I'd like to call this meeting to order on this special day as we remember September 11th and kind of the tragic events that happened, and just keep that in our minds as well. We will proceed to item number 2 on the agenda for the approval of the August 14th, 2024 minutes. So is there a motion to approve the minutes as have been captured and sent out?
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second? By Brian. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We'll now have public comment for items that are not already on the agenda. And as stated kind of in the agenda, we'll keep that limit to 3 minutes, which is why we have the classic scoreboard here. So we will address, if you do have items that we'll be addressing later on in the agenda, we'll have time for public comment at that point. And so now is an opportunity for public comment for any topics not already included on the agenda. And if you want to state your name, it's so good to see you again. Yeah.
My name is Mark Cannon, and I'm leading a class down here in the pool on Tuesday mornings, and I've sent information to you about this, but I wanted to be here in person and give you a great big heartfelt invitation to come down and join us. In the past, you know that we've had a little bit of contention in our group, and you know, I'm sure you felt some attack by us, and that's certainly not my intention. But I think the way to get beyond that is people have to come and see what's actually happening here. So I know you all have jobs probably, and you can't just, but I'm guessing there's a Tuesday morning sometime between now and the end of June that you could come down and experience what's happening. There's a sense of community growing down here that is totally amazing. I'm not taking credit for this. There's great people that have shown up. So again, I think the only way that you'll really get this, I can try to put it in writing, but there's nothing like just coming and experiencing it. So please, I would love to see you, and extend invitation to other staff members who aren't here. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Mark. Any other public comment? Items
along with that, I just want people to know you can just show up. You don't have to be signed up for the class. You pay your $6. I think it's $6 to get in. Or do you have to be signed up for the class?
Free.
It's free. Oh, you really don't have to pay anything. All right. Okay.
I could just add one piece. It's free so that we're trying to reach out to the marginalized sections of the community for that purpose, and there's no registration. You just show up in a swimsuit. Well, whatever.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Connie.
You're welcome.
All right. With no other further public comment, we'll proceed to item number 4. We'll have kind of the staff update, after which we'll have public comment related to Mercer baseball and softball athletic fields.
Yep. So just want to introduce Ben Grimm, who's the grounds manager, and Jeff Barnes, the director of facilities with the Iowa City Community School District. We invited them here today to give you an update on the Mercer Park ball field project. The plans are to renovate field number 4 for use as a softball field for the school district for City High. And they're going to provide an update on kind of where they're at with that process and why there was the need for the school district to start utilizing field number 4 over there. So,
all right.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Good evening. I'm Ben Grimm.
How's it going, Alex?
I am the grounds manager for the school district, among other things. I'm also on the City of Iowa City Climate Action Commission, so I am a commissioner as well on the climate side of things. To give you a little bit of the history, the relationship between the City of Iowa City and the school district predates the 10 years I've been within the school district. So we've historically had partnerships not only on Mercer Park Field, but also the pool system. In the past, we've had gyms, North Market Square, I think is the name of the park up there by Mann. We have an agreement so we can use that space for recesses and that. And so those relationships, there's a long history of that there, and I think it benefits both the school district as well as the city. Right now, we're in the process of our facilities master plan 2.0, which is going to upgrade all of our athletic field facilities at all the high schools. And what's changed over the years is, you know, when you went and you played baseball or you played softball or swimming or whatever, your sport kind of happened in that isolated season, right? That's changed. You know, it's part of the education system. It's about keeping kids in a positive space where they can develop teamwork as well as the physical attributes and things of that nature. So with that said, the City High School over on the east side of town, it is landlocked in the middle of a neighborhood, so we're very, very restricted on space that's over there. And what we're wanting to do is upgrade those athletic facilities to get them up to kind of the modern standard. And that includes Mercer Park 1, which is the baseball field that we currently have agreement on. And we would like to move the softball over to Mercer Park field number 4. With the growing athletics and the change in how athletics is working, we're looking at providing some sort of multi-use facility that would cater to all the different sports at the high school that they could practice even in the winter times and that. And so that space is really kind of needed for the softball field. But it gets a little more complicated than that because modern ADA standards and that, we just literally do not have the footprint to put a baseball field and softball field at City High School. And we literally do not have that footprint to put even one of those in there without sacrificing the green space that's used for band and other sports and science classes and different gym classes and everything of that nature. So we're working on a 28E with the city right now. We've been working with Tyler and Brad and Julie. We're very close to reaching an agreement on that. And essentially what we would do, we're still in the design process right now. We would renovate basically the dugouts on Mercer Diamond 1. That field has never been leveled properly. It's never been developed as like a proper competitive baseball field. It was kind of came out of the roots of rec field. We want to bring that up to higher standards with drainage and irrigation and infrastructure with the dugouts and kind of locker room kind of spaces attached to the dugouts. And then field number 4, we want to rotate that field so it kind of matches the right orientation for the competition level. So as you go up in competition levels, those fields need to be oriented a specific way so the sun's not impairing the batter. And so we're looking at rotating that one and doing the same thing where we'd upgrade all the dugouts, put on a press box, put in new sidewalks to go out there, irrigation, drainage, bullpens, the whole nine yards. And so we're working with the city right now to try to coordinate the city's effort to upgrade that park as well as upgrade the fields to meet the district's needs. So that's kind of a quick rundown. Questions?
What would it be restricted just to like City High use, or would the public be able to access the fields?
It would largely be restricted to City High youth. There is some discretion at the high school level. The problem we run into is, like I mentioned earlier, the sports, they don't just go for a season anymore. They go for like an extended period of time. They have camps outside of season and host different events. And those camps, as I understand it, are oftentimes open to the public. And you'll see youth camps and things of that nature. And then we have to have a proper maintenance window in there to be able to maintain and bring that field back up to par, you know, after the season. So they do have to practice primarily on their competition field, so there's a lot of wear and tear when it is in season and even oftentimes out of season. So yeah.
Who's financially responsible for the renovation, and then what's the plan financially for the ongoing maintenance?
Yeah, so the district will be responsible for ongoing maintenance of everything on the actual fields. And we're generically just saying, you know, that's kind of bleachers on in or dugout on in. You know, we're going to ultimately, I think, with the 28E, be responsible for pulling out our recyclables out of there, and then obviously all the maintenance with that. So the district tentatively is looking at somewhere around $2 million worth of upgrades to the fields themselves. And then the city has a amount of money that they're contributing towards the infrastructure, which would be ADA and shading, I think, over top of the stands. And I know there's discussion about building needs, like renovating maybe the roof and stuff, as well as some art associated with that. So a lot of that stuff isn't really ironed out yet, and it's really for Tyler or the city to kind of speak to those things. But it is a joint project, so, yeah.
Could you provide provide an update on timing as well and how it impacts some of the other kind of on sports that are
So originally we wanted to actually have it under construction this year. We were late to the construction window, which meant that we were not going to get favorable bids. So we intentionally pushed it back by a year. The hope is to have design done by somewhere around Christmas, bids out sometime in early January, with hopefully construction starting somewhere mid to late spring on field number 4. And so we would continue to use City High softball for this next season. Baseball would use Diamond 1, so we could focus kind of that construction on Diamond 4 and then flip-flop those as we get past the standard baseball season. So then both fields would then be playable by next spring, spring of 2026.
So softball currently plays on... Where does softball currently
So they currently play at City High, and the field itself fits there. Where it gets into those restrictions as far as volume of space is trying to make sure that everything's ADA compliant for all the spectators, and we don't really have that footprint to accomplish the field that's needed as well as the dugouts that are needed as well as the stands and press box and everything of that nature. It's pretty antiquated at this point, so.
And within the $2 million for both Field 1 and Field 4, you said kind of dugouts on in.
Yeah.
Will you be doing any work with bullpens or anything?
Yeah, so it will be bullpens. With rotating that field, it also requires an additional sidewalk, which would end up probably falling under the school district because the city didn't need that sidewalk until we rotated the field. There's also some irrigation upgrades that we got to iron out as well, because these would be completely irrigated, and we got to make sure that both systems are actually functioning and we can track district's water uses versus the city's water usage and things of that nature. So there are some minor things that kind of mix into that, but yeah.
So in irrigation, you're thinking natural grass?
It'd all be natural grass, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Any other questions from the commission? Appreciate the update. Thank you, Ben.
Absolutely.
I want to say one thing, not about baseball fields, but I want to thank you for putting in the accessible swing at North Market Park next
yes,
to Mann.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm a physical therapist for Grantwood AEA. It's amazing, and it's been great. It's
absolutely. Yep.
Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right.
I had a couple things to add to that. So in our discussion with the school district, we're sitting in on the meetings. They hired the consultant to work on this project, but the city does have some funds to be able to contribute towards this project. But our intent with those funds is to use it towards the common areas. And so that's something that we're working with them on the master plan design with the Field 4 renovations. But then some of the more common areas, like the sidewalks, some other field improvements on the other fields, concession area, storage areas. I know we need some new roofing. So that's going to be something that we're contributing the city's money towards, because we're still going to be utilizing fields 2 and 3 as public space. And so that was another thing that we had talked about. We met last week kind of talking about the terms of the agreement. And so some of the things with Field 4 being shifted over to the school district, kind of overseeing the long-term maintenance and use of that field, we're wanting to make sure that we're still giving priority use of the other fields to the public. So we're trying to figure out ways to be able to do that. What we're looking at doing is we're going to be giving priority reservations to Fields 2 and 3 to the public by a set date. So I think we're looking at maybe March 1st, that anybody that's wanting to use it from the public, they need to have their dates reserved and to us by March 1st. Otherwise, then it opens up. That's when City High can come in. Typically in the past, they've used Field 2 as an additional practice space. So then it would be open to them at that time. One of the other things that we're looking at, just to make sure that we have field crews that are going up there doing cleaning the restrooms, doing maintenance. Historically, we haven't charged City High for use of that field too. They've just used that as part of their practice space, and also some games for, I think, ninth grade is what they've done for games on field two. We're going to start charging a fee for that because really that's going to be our revenue source is fields two and three. And if we're still having staff, we have maintenance equipment, all of those things, we want to make sure that we balance that out. And then it's not finalized yet, but we'll be taking a annual fee from the school district as well to go towards capital improvements of the common areas. So that's going to be another part of that agreement as well. The primary user of our fields is the Little Hawks Baseball Club. I spoke with their lead last week, kind of letting them know, here's where we're at with this agreement process. Here's what we're thinking about still being able to allow access, priority access to the public. What date works for you, ideally. And so we had a good conversation about how they can still gain access to that space with fields two and three and to be able to accommodate their practice schedules.
At this time, we'll open up for public comment. Hopefully that answered.
Oh. I have one comment to the city side of things. I would ask that as you're working through all of this for field four, but also for field two and three, to consider additional base anchors and maybe pitching distances so that there's some variability for different age groups to use it.
Field two in particular, right?
Two and three, I would think that's critical. Four might be a challenge because you don't want to put anything in the base path.
Well, four is going over to the school district.
So is that dedicated that there can't be any adjustable?
That would most likely be the case, yeah. So we would be looking at fields three and, or two and three, I'm sorry. Right now, fields three have pegs for 70, 80, and 90.
Awesome.
Field two has a grass infield, and it has stationary pegs at 90 and a stationary pitching mound. So that's something that would be a potential consideration in the future as far as a field improvement. If we wanted to make that basically a replica of field three, that probably would be more usable by the public to be able to do varying distances for those pegs. But right now, it's with the grass infield, it's stationary pegs. And so it really is used more towards the U14 and above.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking with field four, if you can work that into the agreement that you do have that opportunity, if you ever wanted to host tournaments and you did need to adjust the pitching length or for a weekend set different base lengths, it'd be a good opportunity for you to be able to bring in larger events if that was something the city ever wanted to do.
So the maintenance of field one and four, so basically field four becomes the equivalent of field one except for softball, but it's under the school district's use. And so they're doing all the improvements, they're doing all the maintenance of that field. So the public would not actually have access to field four.
Yeah.
No, just fields two and three.
Okay, I didn't know if it's just still maintained use of.
No, it's same thing, kind of same arrangement as field one. And so that's why we're making sure that we're putting things in place to be able to make sure that we can give priority access to fields two and three to the public first before the school district accesses it.
Yep, that makes sense.
Brad, did you say that the Little Hawk Baseball Club are the ones that is the part of the public that mostly uses
the primary
two and three?
Yeah.
So are you going to be pushing out information about that, like March 1st date for other organizations in town that may want to?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we would. Typically, the users of fields, field two is more of our like University of Iowa baseball. We have some adult leagues that use it. And Little Hawks is really kind of like the main user, but we would open that up to the public and we would make that known.
Cool, thank you.
What sort of demand are you seeing currently? Is it?
So I did a spreadsheet just kind of for my own information as I was putting together this information. And we have a lot of days that are not preferred to be practiced on. The fields are available, but teams don't tend to want to practice on that. Tuesdays and Thursdays are big days for practices. Wednesdays is more of a church night, is what I'm told. So the Little Hawks Baseball Club sometimes avoids the Wednesday nights. Friday nights, they're usually either at a tournament or going to a tournament. And Monday, they've been at a tournament all weekend, and so they like to take that day off. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays tend to be the most utilized dates. And then on the weekends, unless there's a tournament, we really don't see as much use up there either. So there's options. Sometimes it's more just adjusting the schedules to make the practices fit when the fields are available.
And then I had one other question. Have you looked at other facilities around the city where you could, you know, like Caleb said, make adjustments or make it more flexible to the different uses, or like areas where you could, you know, maybe add another field?
Like more fields or more pegs?
Well, I guess both, you know.
I'm not sure. Maybe Tyler might be able to speak to that a little bit with your knowledge of what's available.
There's not a whole lot of extra flexibility at City Park from what's already currently there. And we just redid the fences there, if you remember, maybe 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now. So there are 8 fields there. It's kind of like 7.5. One doesn't have enough space to have the fence around it. There aren't really any other spaces short of a whole brand new complex somewhere right now that would make sense to add one or two fields even. So that would be something that would probably have to be a larger thing to be able to add that at that point. And then that's going to take a whole capital improvement amount of money too, which currently there isn't any in the plan for that in the next 5 years.
I think adding additional anchors or pitching bound anchors, if you did that, you don't necessarily need them for the pitching rubber. But even at Happy Hollow, it's kind of a short infield. The grass limits, I mean, 90-foot bases would be pretty tough to fit on there.
Yeah.
But it's another park that's used for a lot of the local baseball and softball teams. So that'd be another one I would just ask that it's considered, especially if we're doing that at field 2 and field 3 and already kind of moving that direction, just to add another one that has some variability to be able to put different fields on there.
That one doesn't currently have base pegs in it. It just has a home base. So when it's used, the bases have to be, you know, just the temporary bases set out by the users of it. So they do have a little flexibility in that way. But the distance to that hill is so close in some of the spots when you get to those older ages,
right.
They're going to be hitting it, especially in left field, onto that hill or maybe onto the road even. That would be the biggest limiting factor there. But there is some flexibility because there aren't set pegs right now at any distance.
Gotcha.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We'll open it up for public comment on the topic of Mercer baseball, softball, athletic fields. And if you'd state your name and keep it to 3 minutes, that'd be great.
Sure. Hi, I'm Mike Mullenbrook. Give a little information here about myself just to add a little context, because it all comes kind of full circle for me. I've lived in Iowa City my whole life, probably spent my entire childhood at City Park baseball, Mercer Park baseball fields. Graduated from City High as a baseball player. I have a City High baseball playing son, City High softball playing daughter. I also have 3 other kids that will eventually go through the system. I just finished my 17th year of coaching baseball in Iowa City. And then I'm also an engineer who designs fields like these, so I have lots of thoughts about this. First, I love the collaboration between the city and the school district to make something happen. I think it's gonna be awesome. My engineer brain always thinks about what could be, how could things be better, and I've been thinking about Mercer for a long time, probably since Jeff Fruin and I talked during COVID about reopening parks and all that kind of stuff. I had some ideas then, didn't get much traction, and then this year, it was the end of April, Field 1 had a varsity scrimmage, Field 2 had a freshman scrimmage, Field 3 had a 12U game, and then there was a practice on field 4, and Mercer was full. It was like standing room only. It was awesome. Really cool to see that much out there, especially with all the pickleball and everything going. So it's now kind of re-inspired me to try to figure something out. And really what I'm asking is for help. Like, I think there's more that could be done at Mercer, and I'm looking for ways as a resident and coach and others of a pathway of how to do that, whether it's a third-party entity or what. I'm looking for that guidance, I guess. I have lots of ideas about it. Maybe one or two are good. So that really, the guidance is kind of like long-term, how can we advocate for changes in funding and things? Because I think I was looking in 2020, there was 1.25 million allocated from the city for Mercer Park improvements and all these things, and that's just kind of died, and I don't know where those have gone. And then other things, as someone, part of Little Hawks, who coaches there often, it'd be awesome if there could just be like a rake in a PVC tube on the side of the dugout to help rake the field when we're there, and other things. But like I said, I have lots of ideas, trying to figure out other ways just to get more fields. If you added some pegs at like Napoleon, that opens up 8 fields for 4 different ages and other things. My last question is with field 4 going away, there's only 2 fields in all of Iowa City that allow, that are properly sized for 11, 12, 13, only 2, and one of them's now going away. So you have 1 field for all of Iowa City for 3 different age groups. So I was hoping that by that field going away, is it going to be replaced somewhere or what? So, right on time. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your thoughts and as far as and some of the ideas from a staff standpoint, I think it would be good to connect on some of those ideas as well as we're thinking about the future that way as well. Yep. All right. Any other public comment on that topic? If not, we'll move on to the pool, item number 5, pool attendance update from Brett. And if you want to reference the handouts that were passed, I apologize.
Having some technology issues. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thanks, Brett.
Having some technology issues, so when you're showing charts, it's easier to show them than it is to describe them. So hopefully those handouts are helpful to you. So we have been tracking attendance at the Robert A. Lee Recreation Center indoor pool and the Mercer Park Aquatic Center indoor pool since approximately October 2022. We had started a little bit earlier than that, but getting the actual methodology for consistency and how we're recording that, October 2022 is about the time that we are feeling comfortable with where we're at in our processes for recording attendance figures. And so I just wanted to provide an update. It's been about a year, I think, since I last provided an update on pool numbers. And kind of to give you a feel for where they're at. So I broke it down by the Robert A. Lee Recreation Center indoor pool and the Mercer Park Aquatic Center indoor pool. So the commonalities that these pools have, they both offer lap swim, open swim, water fitness classes, and special events. They each have a unique feature that provides a little bit of lumpy figures, so to speak, where they're more cyclical in nature. So Mercer Park Aquatic Center has our swim teams. So we have the City High swim team, we have the Southeast Junior High swim team, and we have the Iowa City Eels that practice out at Mercer Park Aquatic Center, and they also host their swim meets out there as well. We have the majority of our swim lessons here at the Robert A. Lee Recreation Center. And so when you're looking at the charts, you'll see some big spikes when we're in season for swim club, swim teams, and also for swim lessons. And then we also have months where we don't have lessons at all, or swim team is not in session. And so that kind of provides a little bit more variability. But if you were to look at the Robert A. Lee Recreation Center, 2 charts that we have there, the monthly participation by activity type, and then the average daily attendance totals. So when we have the category recreation, what does that mean? So the recreation is gonna be more of our drop-in swim. This is where people are paying either an attendance at the door, or they have a punch pass, attendance punch pass, or they have a facility pass, or a swim pass, monthly swim pass, or an annual swim pass that they scan when they come into the facility. Then we also have that broken down by water fitness. So this is gonna be our classes that people sign up for. They register for these water fitness classes. And so we have our roster lists, and we take attendance at each session for everybody that comes to those classes. So even if they sign up, we actually take the actual attendance of them being there at that class, and that's how we factor that figure in for that day. And then special events. So this is going to be, special events could be our $2 evening swim that we have on Sundays and on Friday evenings. We have Mark's Water mindfulness class goes into our special events total. We have pool rentals that go into the special events. So that's how we come up with that number. So when you start looking at the chart, since October 2022 through July 2024, you can definitely see that there is an increase in the number of people that are participating in the recreation in particular. The water fitness and special event numbers have stayed relatively the same during that time frame, but you can definitely see we're going from monthly totals of 600 or so that we're checking in October 2022 for the recreation category, and going up to about 1,200 a month in July 2024. And it's really kind of been a gradual increase. We did have a couple things to note on that. We did decide, as the commission's recommendation was last year, to increase 2 hours of open swim time beginning in September 2023. So that's factored into those totals. That was the 9 to 11 a.m. time that we added back in. And then you'll also notice that there's some spikes in there. The spikes are, you can really look back at our attendance totals. We had three different periods of time where Mercer was closed for approximately 2 weeks in each of those time periods. And you can see that everyone was being diverted to here. Which is great. You know, people were still able to take advantage of their swim passes. You know, I know everybody has their preferred facilities. You know, we have people that favor this facility. We have people that favor Mercer. But when in a pinch and they don't have that facility, they'll find the alternative. And we're happy to at least have another location that they can go to. So Mercer Park Aquatic Center, when you start to look at those numbers, it's a little different, and I'm not exactly sure why it is this way. Again, you'll see the special event and the water fitness totals stay relatively consistent. However, the recreation totals tend to have a low in January, cycles up to July. We've actually seen this for both years. Cycles up to July, and then takes a big dip, and then starts to build back up. And I'm not sure why that is. You know, obviously we have City Park Pool that's open at that time, but it doesn't necessarily explain why July totals are some of the highest numbers at Mercer Park. But that's what we're seeing for the last 2 years, so it'll be interesting to see if that trend continues. And again, you can see the big dip when Mercer was closed for the 2 weeks really kind of impacted those totals. And then the last chart just shows those side by side to kind of give you a feel for where they are at in relation to one another as far as total daily averages. Do you have any questions on that?
I think actually City Park was closed in July of 2023 a lot because of the air quality.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Why I remember that, I have no idea.
Yes, that is true. We were finding alternative locations on some of those days that people could go to.
And just like all numbers are up in July, everyone wants to swim. It's hot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Find the nearest pool. Yeah. Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
How will you use this data? Or are you just kind of information gathering at this point? Or
yeah, good question. So actually last year, I think we were, maybe it was in August, and we had requests from the public to add hours back in. They thought that the numbers were increasing, and we were starting to see that with the numbers that we had. And so the recommendation from the commission was based on the numbers that we actually had, showing that we were having that attendance increase, and there was demand to add those 2 hours back in, and so that was ultimately kind of what decided us going that direction. So these numbers are more for informational right now, but it's something that's helpful for us to start keeping track of. Should we want to make any adjustments to facility hours, we can make more informed decisions based on who's utilizing what facilities. We have it tracked by hours too, so when I have my spreadsheets, I didn't include that in here, but it's the one that we provide monthly to everybody in the commission report. It has it broken down by hours and by each specific day, so we can start to see trends even within that about what hours are utilized the most and what hours are utilized the least, should we have to make any future decisions on facility hours.
Any other commission questions at this point?
Are there certain times that you look at, like, oh, you know, since you increased hours, the usership went up. Mm-hmm. Like, are there, like, oh, every third month we decide, should we add time, should we take away time,
no.
or whatever?
Is yeah, there? Yeah. We kind of like to keep it consistent for the year.
Okay.
And so the best time for us to make that change would be in the fall.
Okay.
If we were to ever look at taking hours out or adding hours in. The fall, because we print our rack cards for facility hours well in advance, and so we have those out like 3 or 4 months before the new season actually begins, and so we have to go through design work and printing those, and so the more consistent that we can keep the hours, the better it is for the public. We used to have hours where it was like, this time is for lap swim and this time is for open swim, and it was too confusing for the public, it was too confusing for our staff. So we just wanted to get back to something that's very simple. And so the less adjustments that we make on the hours, the better, unless there's really a reason to do that.
Like the summer where City Park's gonna be closed.
Right,
like,
I have a question about that.
Yes, yeah.
Considering opening up something.
We will.
You will,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure.
We have already talked about alternative locations and hours and what that looks like, and we'll start to really kind of hammer that down kind of once we know more on the schedule of City Park Pool.
All right.
For next year.
Yep. Cool, thanks.
Yep.
All right, we'll have time now for public comment as it relates to the pool attendance updates. And if you just want to state your name again, Mark, so as well.
I have to admit, I did not bring my glasses, so I'm just asking for a little clarification on the charts here, if I can do that. So the first thing is not in the chart, but the number of hours at Robert A. Lee is significantly less than Mercer. I don't know exactly because I don't have those hours in front of me. But if my eyes are working okay, what I'm seeing here is that between October 22 and July 24, the numbers at Robert A. Lee doubled from 600 to 1,200. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. I think that just needs to be said, because that's a pretty amazing increase. And then for Mercer Park, and this is not a us versus them thing, but 2,300 versus 2,500. And I'm guessing that some of these increases can be attributed to the fact that, you know, we're still dealing with COVID, right? But I just want to be very explicit about saying that the numbers at Robert A. Lee have doubled. And I think that has happened because of some very, very concerted community effort. So I just want that to go on the record. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any other public comment? Come on. Yep, now's the time. If you can just come up to the mic and.
It's not about the numbers, but it's about the pools.
Okay. Yep. You just want to state your name.
My name's Ann Jensen, and one of the concerns as a person who has attended Mercer, I live near Mercer, but now I come downtown because it's the water temperature, and it's something that a lot of people at Mercer talk about every day. It's advertised online as being between 79 and 81 degrees. And there are people who have taken thermometers to Mercer on a regular basis, and it never reaches 79. It's anywhere between 76 and 78. And the first question would be, is there any way to get the water warmer? If not, could you change the notice online to reflect the true temperature of the water? It is frustrating that it's advertised at that higher level, but it really doesn't reach that level. And the temperature that is advertised for Robert A. Lee is 81 to 83. That's where the temperature is. So that's just something I'd ask you to consider. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
have a question on that one.
Yeah.
Brad, are you experiencing water loss at Mercer? You know, is there...
Not anything beyond the typical...
Normal?
Yeah, people getting out. It's certainly nothing like City Park Pool.
There's no leak or anything? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not new water being put in that's driving the temperature?
No, not beyond just the typical filling that you would do each day just to kind of keep it top job. Yeah.
Appreciate your comment. Thank you. And staff Wolf can follow up on making updates that way.
So. Yep, absolutely.
Any other public comment related to item number 5? If not, we'll move on to item number 6, the new park name, and we'll hear first from Tyler.
Yeah, I'll just give you a quick start off with this. So with new parks within the naming process, you all have the opportunity to make a recommendation that then gets passed on to council, and council takes the final action on it. But historically, they've really valued the opinion that you all bring to the process. In this case, if we do have a name that has some historical kind of tie-in or connection as well, it will most likely go before the Historic Preservation Commission as well, so they can look into it and just make sure everything kind of checks out on their end as well. That's kind of where we're at. And you'll have a chance to hear at least from one member of the public tonight on one of the names put out there. You're also able to suggest other names if you heard any from the community or if other community members are here. So you're not tied down to one, just keep that in mind. And we have a really nice write-up in the packet about the one name, though, so there's a lot of nice background info and everything there, so for one for you to consider. Other than that, if you have questions, I can answer them or when we're done. We'll do the public comment first this time so you guys don't have to discuss different ones without hearing about the ones that are out there.
Thanks, Tyler. At this time, we'll open it to public comment. So if you could state your name, Kevin, grateful that you're here, and thank you for your write-up.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, Kevin Boyd, the author of the proposal. I'm a sixth generation Iowa Cityan, a former chair of the Historic Preservation Commission, a 2022 Iowa City Public Library History Trivia winner, and actually a former member of the Parks and Recreation Commission, like 20-some years ago. Let's not look it up. But for as long as I can remember, I've loved local history. For my 17th birthday, I got a complete set of Irving Weber books from his newspaper columns. And I was very interested in government and politics at the time, so the section about past mayors was one that I read right away. And I remember carefully reading the line about bachelor mayor Harry Breen. I was not out and struggling to kind of imagine myself a future where I could be involved in politics and government and be myself, and I wondered if that was a hint that Irving had left me. When I moved back to Iowa City after 12 years away and living in Des Moines and DC, working for national campaign organizations, I started kind of digging back into local history and noticed kind of much of what we honored and reflected didn't necessarily reflect the diversity of our city or my life as a out gay man with a black partner. And that diversity has always been here. Bachelor Mayor Harry Breen was almost certainly gay. There are many women and people of color who did amazing things, and we should find ways to celebrate. Everyone should see themselves in what we honor in our parks and our schools and other civic buildings and civic institutions. It's something I'm passionate about, kind of honoring our past, celebrating our shared history, and ways that reflect our shared values today. So when I saw you guys were all considering a name for a new park, I was, Adelaide Joy Rogers came to mind right away. She really was a woman ahead of her time, advocating for women and girls in many ways, but particularly when it comes to recreation opportunities. Her history-making candidacy, using her full name, including her maiden name, Joy, is something we should celebrate. And I think it very well may have been the reason she came up 57 votes short. She was honoring herself as who she was, but politically at the time, that may not have been a thing. That's just me adding in my context. There's no record of whether or not that influenced her or not, or the voters. But I also love that it's a West Side park. Adelaide and her husband were early West Siders, living first on Melrose and later Park Road. But I hope we can continue to find ways of honoring our past, celebrating our shared history in ways that reflect the values of our city today. encourage you to name this park after her. And, you know, it brings us one step closer to kind of being more inclusive and telling a full story of Iowa City's history, and so that more people can kind of see themselves reflected in what we honor ourselves. So I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I'm happy to answer any questions about her. I try not to go into too much of what I wrote and submitted, so but happy to if there are questions about it, and that's appropriate. So
thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I hope everybody had a chance to review in the packet. Appreciate the diligence and the thoroughness, Kevin, in your write-up that way. At this time, are there other suggestions besides Adelaide, Joy, Rogers, for potential names for the park that the commission has heard, either from the public that they want to bring forward at this time, or are there other thoughts from the commission? Or other questions for Tyler, I guess, as well?
I absolutely love that suggestion. Also an Iowa City and born and raised here. And I loved everything about it. Thank you for your thoughtful proposal. It was really, really cool. And I know that there have been other suggestions to honor either, you know, Caitlin Clark or Lisa Bluter or whatever. And I think that's the university's place to do something like that for those individuals, but still being able to recognize, you know, the female leadership that in our community. I think I wholeheartedly agree with that proposal as a name for the new park.
Are there other names that have, I know there was a list of suggestions, but any others with a lot of context to them that have been put out?
Not that I have heard any follow-up on from anyone. I think and you brought up Irving Weber and his books as well. I know that was on there twice in our suggestions at one point, but nothing else that I remember had more than one suggestion. Maybe Caitlin Clark, but just kind of a sign of the times. But I don't think anything else had more than one suggestion when we put it out there as part of the park design process. This was the first suggestion that had a lot of effort and history pulled into it as well, so not that I know of.
I also really liked it as well and thought it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, oh, this is a slam dunk.
So yes, as father of daughters, I definitely wholeheartedly as well was in favor of the name. And so once I learned more about her, and as someone that I wasn't aware of, and so grateful for that history and how I was taught that way as well. So is it then the recommendation of the commission to recommend as the park name, pending any historical preservation review, Adelaide Joy Rogers as a park name? Is there a motion?
I would like to do a motion to name the new park Adelaide Joy Rogers.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you.
Yes.
So at this time, we'll move on to item number 7. So report from city staff. We'll start with Brad.
Okay. Just wanted to provide an update on a couple facilities. So the pickleball and tennis courts at Mercer Park and City Park are completed and
busy.
And they're great.
And busy. Yes. And they look beautiful.
They do.
They turned out really, really nice. Yeah. So if you haven't had a chance to check those out, they turned out very nice, and they are getting a lot of use from the public. As soon as it gave any kind of semblance that it was somewhat complete, people just basically took over the pickleball courts, especially over at Mercer Park. But I think the reception, I work with the pickleball county club, the Johnson County Pickleball Club, and they are very pleased with the addition of the courts. So I know that they're getting a lot of use out of them too. Just wanted to provide just a very quick update on City Park Pool. We're still in the design phase on City Park Pool, working behind the scenes. We've been meeting pretty consistently on Tuesdays with our consultant team, and we're kind of at the point now where we're going to start getting everything's kind of been narrowed down, and we're going to start getting some numbers. So that, you know, once we get the numbers, then we kind of start working with those, kind of figure out what our priorities are and continue that
that ball on down the road. So, you know, it's hopeful that maybe in a month or two, we might be able to provide more of a concrete update on kind of where we're at with that project, but everything is still kind of working behind the scenes. So just wanted to give you a brief update on that, though. Some of the upcoming events, you know, even though summer is over, we still have a lot of different things that are going on a regular basis. Roller skating, which is always very, very popular, begins this Saturday. So we'll kind of start in the season where pretty much that's every Saturday night moving forward here for a while. We have a STEAM event called BioBlast, which is going to be happening on September 22nd here at this facility from 2 to 4 p.m. We're going to be hosting the Iowa State University's Insect Zoo as part of that, but then a lot of biology-themed crafts and activities and demonstrations as part of that STEAM event.
What's the date on that?
BioBlast.
Sorry, what's the date?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, September 22nd.
Thank you.
Yep. And then on Saturday, September 28th, we have the Kids Market. I believe we have 50 vendors for that. Registrations filled up very fast, I think within hours of opening that up. That's always a very popular event. It's really cool to see all the kids down there with their wares, selling them, and just kind of getting a lot of community input and buyback on that. And then the following day, we have our Get Outside Outdoor Rec Fest, which is going to be the second year that we've done this. This is an event where we hold this at Lower City Park from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have live music, food trucks, but most importantly, we work with a lot of different organizations in the community to provide outdoor recreation experiences for people to try. We have a lot of different activities that we put on as our staff, but then we have a lot of other organizations come in and run some different outdoor equipment types of things that people can do, hands-on stuff, and kind of get a feel for, you know, maybe there's something else that they'd like to try and pursue, you know, down the line. Monday, October 14th, we have our Indigenous Peoples Day. This is also the second time that we've done this event. We had a good response to that last year. That's going to be at the Terry Trueblood on the Monday afternoon from 4:30 to 7 p.m. And then our always popular Halloween Carnival will be here. We basically packed this facility. That's going to be on Friday, October 18th. We're doing it a week earlier than we typically would because homecoming is the 25th, and they basically take over this whole entire area. And it's not a good day to do an event here at this facility. So we'll be doing that on the 18th.
Is there any, with the date moving to the 18th, is there like getting the word out to letting people know? I know that is a very heavily attended event historically.
And I'm sure people will be scrambling to get their costumes around in time. It's definitely a lot earlier than we typically would have it. So people might have to be on the ball a little bit more with getting their costumes.
Appreciate it.
we'll definitely be promoting that through social media and press releases and all that good stuff.
Great.
I got a couple questions on the pickleball. First of all, I've heard a ton of really positive feedback as well. Great decision and project seems like it went really well. Are they just asphalt or are they post-tension concrete underneath? Do you know?
Asphalt.
It's just asphalt?
Yeah.
I figured that was the case. I wasn't sure.
We looked into the other, the cost was
just a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
So other question on that. Did you contract it all out or was that done in-house by staff?
It was contracted.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've heard tremendous things. Just two curious points I had on that.
Yeah. We left it to the pros that are used to putting those parts
together. Good decision.
Hopefully has the longevity.
Thank you.
All right. Not at this time, so so pickleball courts I know have been heavily used, also have received a lot of positive comments. I know from my family trying to go at some points they've been so busy, so waited for a little bit and some of the courts to open up. So there's definitely generally a lot of use. So I think continuing to monitor that for future pickleball court development is an opportunity as well for the future. All right, with that, we'll have Brad's report and then we'll have public comment at that point. So.
OK.
Okay, so let's see. I was going to touch on pickleball and tennis, but think we got that covered. We have been, some of our staff likes to play too, so we've been using it. It's and we always see people over there. Little less in the middle of the day when we like to do kind of a lunchtime thing there, but in the morning for sure, it's always filled up. Single track, thank you all for everyone who attended the grand opening of that. We've got some great feedback from that night and then since then. We just last Friday, a few of us helped Jack Brooks with City Channel 4 by riding, and he took some footage. He did a good job. We didn't have to do too many retakes and things or anything like that. So look for a promo on that at some point. It was fun to get out there, and we had three different types of bikes on it for him to film too, showing people, you know, the different styles you can use on there as well. So that was a fun project. Staff was very appreciative to hear the feedback that night too, because they put a lot of time and effort into it, from you know, our permanent staff to all of our seasonals throughout the couple of years that we were developing it as well. Tree planting. We will be receiving our shipment of trees tomorrow, most of the 500 trees, which hopefully you've all seen press releases, yard signs. If you live in one of the neighborhoods, a little hang tag on your door. I think it went out through Nextdoor as well, and they tried to push it out to the neighborhood associations. So really got the word out there for that planting. So we'll be starting that, if not Friday, then beginning of next week, getting some of those trees in the ground. Additionally, we have a volunteer tree planting event again this year, because we had just missed the press for your packets, but we received a $10,000 grant from the DNR for the community forestry grant. We've received one every time, going back to when they started it, I believe, in 2021. So $50,000, I looked back, is what we've received for that over that time frame. So a lot of good trees that have went in through that. The event this year to plant, we've lined up some volunteers from Master Gardeners. It's went out to Master Naturalist as well, and then Rotary members. A lot of good groups that help us with other things as well. You are all invited if you would like to join too. September 29th, so we're a little bit competing with the Get Outside event. It's at 9 o'clock. We start an hour earlier. We chose a Sunday morning primarily because it's going to be at Kickers Soccer Park, and Kickers Soccer Park is pretty much full of people in cars every Saturday. So that was our time we could get more community volunteers out there without conflicting as much with soccer. There'll still be soccer that day, but a lot less at that time. This summer, if you all didn't notice in your own yards, we never got a break from mowing the whole summer. So I wish we had a couple of week break like we normally do. We would have been able to pick up a few other projects and things like that. But it's been a crunch. We're also seeing kind of a trend where seasonal staff, we've had younger staff the last few years, so they go back to school. And when they all go back to school, they all go back to school at the same time. So we've been really trying to backfill with hiring more seasonal staff the last few weeks here, and getting people on to kind of help with that, because everything's picking back up for fall sports and everything as well. So just trying to stay on top of everything. And then we talked a little bit about, I'm glad I hopefully soon won't be calling it the new park on Shannon Drive. We'll actually have a name. There and our other parks that we've been doing designs for, we're still in that design process. We're getting closer to a point where we will go out for bid. So that's also, besides off Shannon Drive there, it'll be at College Green, Brookland, and Calder with the path going through there. And then we're still also in the design process for the skate park, which will be skate park and pump track combined there. So lots of stuff coming next year for those. We'll have it ready to go. It's just groundbreaking won't be until next year for any of those projects. So those are my updates. If anyone has questions, happy to answer them. But thank you.
Thank you.
Well, open it up for any public comment on what was said. And just as a reminder, this, yeah, just a chance to present comments, but not kind of discussion or that way.
So. Again, my name's Ann Jensen. And I came to Iowa City in 1982. This is about the City Park pool when you mentioned the design still going on. So I've been here since 1982. I was going to go to school for 3 years and then go back to the Philadelphia area, but I didn't. This is a wonderful place. But this summer, I found myself going to City Park pool once for the first time in my life. And I also had participated in the discussion groups about the design and things like that. And I was really looking forward to it. It's a beautiful setting. It's a beautiful setting. When it comes to the design, I hope they consider something. It was unusual. I had two knee replacements, and so I do water aerobic exercise and walking. And the way that pool is designed now, it curves from those wings on the outside gradually in towards the center. And as I was walking those lap lanes, I realized that that was very awkward because one leg was higher than the other. And so it would, if there, you know, there's going to be a slope of some kind, it would be helpful for the walkers if it, you know, gradually went down or up, but not if it came down towards the middle. And if you're walking that way, it's going to be uneven for your legs. It's not that way at Mercer. The slope goes with the walking direction. So I just thought I would bring that up. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that, Anne. Thank you. Any other public comment at that time? Okay. I don't have anything from a chair's report besides thank you for Project Green and all of the updates in the packet. So it's always great to see the beautification that they do and the hours of service that they render on behalf of our community. So I'm grateful for Project Green and those representatives and want that to be noted as well. So with that, we'll go around for any suggestions for future agenda or any other items from the commission. So maybe we'll start with you, Missy.
Again, I just like to shout out the staff and, well, first of all, the hard work that you guys do with the number counting and all of that, but, you know, just the amount of events that are happening. I think it's really cool and it's great to see. So thank you for your hard work, Brad.
I mentioned it earlier to Ben Grimm, but I did want to do a shout out to Julie because she spearheaded the email to get the accessible swing at North Park Market. So, you know, children in Iowa City who can't sit up on their own, they can't do a regular swing, have at least one swing that they can use. Just maybe, I don't know if we need to look at the baseball fields a little more, but I think it is an interesting point. Like, since field four is going away, is there, it seems like as I was growing up, and I don't know how it's like now, but there were so many baseball games there all the time. So if we're taking one away, is it being replaced somewhere? Or is it just a loss? Or maybe it's a gain. But I just thought that was an interesting point to say, are we going to be growing baseball or not? Or not, but you know what I mean. Mullenbrook had brought up, just are we going to replace that field? And also thank you to Mr. Boyd for the Adelaide Joy Rogers suggestion and reading over the history. I was just like, oh man, maybe I need to be a history buff too. There's so many like cool people in Iowa City. I just appreciate him taking the time to do that. And you're going to get back to us about the water temperature for Mercer?
Yeah, I'll check in with the maintenance staff about what might be happening over there to be able to explain that. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Alex?
Yeah, I wanted to thank again staff for all the work on that single track. I've had a lot of my neighbors have used it already and have loved it. Another one of my neighbors is like a seasonal horticulture person, so she worked on it. She's really super proud of it, and it's just really cool. I also wanted to thank Kevin for his suggestion of Adelaide Joy Rogers, especially because you know, she's in the same election as Emma Harvitt, and you know, she wins city council, trailblazer. You know, the conference room is named after her, and you know, Adelaide's maybe somebody who gets lost and also trying to, you know, be a trailblazer, doesn't get elected, and then can be one of those kind of forgotten figures that does a lot but maybe gets overshadowed by somebody else who is also doing incredible things. But so it's great to see somebody like that coming to the forefront again and getting the recognition that they deserve.
Okay.
Thank you for speaking to the Mercer softball and baseball fields. Appreciate the updates on that. And no other suggestions from me.
Yeah. Great. Well, with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
I have a motion.
Is it second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion adjourned. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.